In Galatians chapter 5 about liberty in Jesus Christ, we were encouraged in verse 1 to stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. This entire chapter is related to liberty, the walk of liberty, the living of the life of liberty, the pitfalls and the power to living the life of liberty. Last week we looked at verses 13 through 15, and we saw there that liberty is an expression of love for others in service without force or persuasion. It is that desire, if we want to walk in liberty, not to use that liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love, as it says in verse 13, serve one another. And then we see in verse 14 that all the law is fulfilled in one word. That is, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Isn't it interesting that freedom and liberty is expressed in servitude? That's fitting. Because you see, if we are not serving others, if we are not serving the Lord Jesus Christ, that leaves only one person left to serve. And that is yourself. And we are going to find out today as we study these next verses here, verses 16 through 18, that we must avoid trying to live the life of liberty in the flesh. The enemy of liberty is the flesh. The friend of liberty is the Holy Spirit of God. And we're going to develop that as we look at this passage of Scripture. Let's begin reading at verse 16 of Galatians 5. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that you would use your word in a powerful way today to touch our hearts. Lord, we would desire to live in the life of liberty. But that means that we have to live in the power of thy Holy Spirit. And we realize from this passage of Scripture that the flesh and the Holy Spirit are contrary one to the other. They war against each other. And we desire, Father, for the Holy Spirit to be in control, and that our flesh be brought under, that our flesh be crucified. Father, we pray that as we study thy word this morning, that we might grasp and take to our hearts the truth that you have for us. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want to review just a portion of what we looked at last time in verses 13 through 15 here about how liberty expresses itself. Liberty in Christ does not express itself in serving yourself. The life of liberty through the Holy Spirit expresses itself in serving others in love. Now, there are a lot of organizations and there are a lot of churches that are serving others, but they're doing so in the power of the flesh. Do you understand, please, that the flesh is a powerful force? The flesh is a powerful force. What is behind all of the things that's being done today? It's the power of the flesh. What powers Islam to cause its hate to spread all over the world today? To cause China now to be the fastest growing Muslim nation in the world? It's the power of the flesh. What allows people to be able to do what they do, to rise from the very lowest level in life, to be able to rise to the top and become the leader of a company and be lost? It's the power of the flesh. Folks, the power of the flesh is a force to be reckoned with. When you engage your will in the purposes of the flesh, the sky is the limit. There are things that you can do in the power of the flesh that even look like that which is the power of the Holy Spirit. It looks like God is working over here. You see all these things happening. Maybe it's a church that's growing by leaps and bounds, and you say, oh, the Spirit of God is upon that church. It may or it may not be. You understand that? It may or may not be. Because you see, the power of the flesh can be masked as the power of the Spirit. because the flesh is a force to be reckoned with. It's an amazing thing. We can go out and do things. We can get what we want. Maybe it's a new automobile, and we'll go out there and we'll get that new automobile, and then we'll say, well, the Lord just gave it to me. Well, maybe He had nothing to do with it. Maybe it was just the old flesh working and working the angles and doing this, that, and the other, and the Holy Spirit had nothing to do with it. Maybe it's a house. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's something for your child that you really want, and you work it all out, and then you kind of mask it and say, well, that was the Lord just working that all out. I want to tell you something, folks. We need to be careful, because Paul is saying here, Galatians, you have lived your life in the flesh since the Judaizers have come to church and have come in and promoted their false doctrine, have come in here and told you that salvation is by works and not just in Christ alone. And now you've moved from the Spirit to what? The flesh. They were still doing the same things they were doing before. They were faithfully going to church. They were faithfully going to prayer meeting. They were doing all the things they were supposed to do, but they were doing it in what? The power of the flesh. They were not living in the liberty that Christ gives. They were not living in the power of the Spirit of God. They were doing all of this in the flesh. Now that tells us something, folks. We've got to be careful. You can get in your vehicle and come to church and be dressed nice and go through all the motions and do it all in the flesh, and not do one bit in the power of God's Holy Spirit. Now this is the warning that God is giving to the Galatians here through the Apostle Paul. Now notice what he says to them in this regard. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That is, you submit yourself daily and allow the Spirit of God to lead and to guide and work in your heart and life. And if you do that and you are submissive to the Holy Spirit, then you will not fulfill what the flesh desires to fulfill. You see, as Christians, we still have the old sin nature. I'm looking forward to the day when we get rid of this old body of death and we have that glorious body that God has prepared for all of us like unto His glorious Son. When we are delivered from this body of death and we have a redeemed body, and the flesh is forever crucified. Oh, it's been crucified in Christ, but we haven't received our new bodies yet. And for all the endless ages of eternity, we'll be able to sing praises to Jesus Christ without fear of hypocrisy. We will be able to say, Lord, I love you, without a wicked heart trying to deceive you when you don't love Him. Isn't that going to be wonderful? We'll be able to say what's true, because then we'll be delivered from this body. But while we're here on this earth, we've got to contend with this old nature. And the Bible says that we're to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, Romans 6, and alive unto Christ. That means we have to count the old sin nature as dead and live by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, that we might be able to fulfill what God wants us to do and not fulfill what the flesh wants us to do. The flesh wants to do a lot of things. The flesh wants to rear its ugly head and say, I've got some purposes in mind I'd like to carry out. And so we have a conflict, don't we not? We've got a conflict. The Holy Spirit of God on one side and the flesh on the other. And the battle ensues. Now, let's look at the command that's given to us here. The command here. Walk in the Spirit. That is in the imperative mood in the Greek language. It is not an option. It is a command. Now, whenever you go and you buy something, the company may say, maybe it's with a vehicle, or maybe it's a lawnmower or something that you're going to go and buy. There may be some options that you can buy to add to your tractor, for instance. Let's say you go out and you buy a farm tractor, and there's all kinds of options. You can have an air-conditioned booth put on that. Wouldn't that be nice for a little lawnmower to have a nice air-conditioned booth, and you just ride around in there and be able to just enjoy mowing the grass? Instead of baking out in the sun. I mean, wouldn't that option be nice? But you see, it's an option. When you buy that lawnmower, it's not going to come with that air conditioner. If you want it, you're going to have to pay for it. This is not an option here. If you would like, walk in the Spirit. If you feel like it. If you really want to have the extras in the Christian life, then walk in the Spirit. Wait a minute. This is a command here. The Greek word is peripateo, and it's used in the present tense, which indicates that we are to continuously, regularly, consistently act in accordance with the Spirit of God. We are to submit to Him, and we are to act according to how He would have us to act. And let Him empower you and enable you to do what you're supposed to do. The problem is the flesh grabs a hold of your arm and says, wait a minute, you don't want to do that. Brother O'Pager was alluding to that this morning, about how many distractions we have in our lives. So many things that rear their ugly heads in our lives that cause us to be a stumbling block instead of a stepping stone in the Lord's work. What is it related to? We're not walking in the Spirit. When we walk in the Spirit, we don't have other problems with other Christians. When we're walking in the Spirit, we're devoted to doing what God wants us to do, and the Holy Spirit of God teaching us. And we will not, as it says here in verse 6:15, we will not what? Fulfill or bring to fruition the fruit of the Spirit, the work of the flesh in this regard. Now, we are to consistently walk in the Spirit of God. Now, this means that our will and our actions must be submitted to the will of the Holy Spirit. I am so thankful this morning that you and I who know the Lord Jesus Christ have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling us to give us the power to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I want to tell you something, the flesh is powerful, but it doesn't want to honor Christ. The flesh is powerful. You can do great things in the power of the flesh that may impress men, but it doesn't impress God because the flesh is contrary to the Spirit. It's on the other side. It's pulling you away from Christ. It's pulling you away from the truth of God's Word. The flesh doesn't want you to spend time in the Bible. The flesh doesn't want you on your knees praying. The flesh doesn't want you teaching your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The flesh wants to see the kids just do what they want to do. We want to see the kids be successful in this world. That's what the flesh wants. You see? But the Spirit of God wants the children to be saved so that the children can go out and be worthy of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be a faithful testimony and witness to the lost. That's what the Spirit wants. And yet the flesh fights against that. Notice, please, in the next verse. Verse 17 and 18 are combined together in thought. We have the command that's given in verse 16, but now we see the conflict ensuing. Verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are, say that word please, contrary. Contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that ye would. Now you know what contrary means. Contrary means on the opposite side. It's like two brothers, all right? Two brothers. I want this bicycle. No, I want it. That's the natural thing. It's an amazing thing. One of the kids in the family gets a new toy. All right? What happens? Everybody throws their toys aside and they all want that what? One toy. No, that's my toy. That was given to me. You can't have my toy. You can't play with my toy. And you know what we have? We have the contrary attitude that comes forth. Oh, I want to play with your toy, Mom. He's not sharing his new toy with me. What is that? That's the flesh. It's the flesh. He's not sharing his new toy with me. In other words, you're saying, he should give it to me, serving the flesh. You see? Serving the flesh. We have a rule in our house that if we fight over a toy, it becomes Dad's. I have lots of toys. Did you know that? I have a lot of toys. I've got a special place that I put the toys that are fought over. There's fighting and scrapping over this little tiny toy. I want that truck. It's Daddy's truck. Thank you. And I go take it to Daddy's toy box stash. And they all look at each other. Where's the next truck? I got to fight over that one. See, contribute to Dad's chest of toys. Now, folks, the Spirit and the flesh are contrary one to the other. Now, which one's right? Let's get that established first. Which one is right? The Spirit of God is right. So if the flesh is involved here, we've got a problem. We've got a problem. We have a conflict here. It's not that the flesh wants to do what the Spirit wants to do and the Spirit just won't let it do it. It's that the flesh wants to tug the other way. That's the problem. They're not pulling together. And we need to understand this. When the Lord Jesus Christ saves us from our sin, it's to crucify and destroy the flesh. It's not to make friends with the flesh and have flesh be a buddy along the Christian life. Do you understand that? We've got to understand the proper use of flesh in the Bible, and we're going to get into that in just a few moments. The flesh is not something that we dress up and make look nice and take it out so the neighbors can see it. The flesh is something that must be mortified. It must be crucified. It's not something that we fix up and we make nice. Now, walking by the Spirit is not passive surrender. I want to make this point. The Spirit-led life is a life of conflict. It is a constant life of conflict. Because of the constant battle with the old ways of the flesh that continue to tempt and to seduce the believer. You're walking down through maybe a mall or so forth like that, and you start hearing music that you used to listen to before you got saved, before the Lord changed your heart and gave you a new song, even praise unto the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's that old song that's playing that you used to remember, and you start singing it, and you start thinking about all that kind of stuff, and then it starts triggering all kinds of things in a row, right? I do not agree with these guys that travel all over the United States, and they have these music seminars, and they bring in all this rock music, and they say, let me give you an example of this thing, a backbeat. And so they start blasting in the church all this rock music. That's an example of that. And everybody's like going along with it, you know, in their heart, because that's what they like. Why would you want to start mental recorders in the back of people's mind that take them back to the flesh rather than take them to the Spirit? We don't have to show everybody. Brother Douglas, Randall Douglas, missionary, I remember this expression that he used to say often, and I wrote it down so I would never. You don't have to skin a polecat to know he's a skunk. You remember that expression he used to say? You don't have to skin a polecat to know he's a skunk. We know it's wrong. Let's not go into all the nitty-gritty detail in that regard. The flesh likes to do that. That's fleshly to do that, in my opinion. To want to give all the examples of all the bad kinds of music and so forth. We know what's bad. Problem is, we don't want to listen to what's good because we've been exposed to what is bad. The flesh loves it, and we have to crucify the flesh. Now, the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. So there's a battle. When the Holy Spirit came to indwell your heart, a battle began. A battle began between the Spirit of God and your rotten flesh and my rotten flesh. Now notice, please, the Spirit and the flesh are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Now notice, please, the Spirit of God does battle with the flesh to keep you from doing what you ought not to do. Turn with me to Romans chapter 7 for just a few moments. Romans chapter 7, this classic passage that deals with the battle between the flesh and the Spirit of God. Notice, please, beginning at verse 18 of Romans 7. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, and we're going to talk about what that means, that word flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, and the evil which I would not, that I do. What is that? That's the battle of the flesh. I want to do what's right, but I just can't seem to do it. Why is that? Because the flesh is in charge. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Now, what I want to emphasize with you, what phrase have you seen over and over again, or two words together? Law. The law. The law of my members. The law of sin. You see that law? What is going to deliver us from that law that is within us? What is going to give us liberty and freedom from that sin of the flesh that wants to do wrong? It is the Spirit of God. For you see, folks, the enemy of liberty is the flesh. The enemy of liberty is the flesh. And if you don't crucify the flesh, then the flesh is going to keep you from enjoying the liberty that you have in Jesus Christ. And this is the whole point. This is the whole point. Galatians, you have allowed the liberty that you had in Christ Jesus to be taken away from you, and now enthroned is the flesh from which you were delivered. You have allowed the enemy of liberty to come, and now the enabler and the friend of liberty has been set aside, and that is the Holy Spirit of God. Now, how are you going to live your life? Are you going to live it by the power of the flesh, or are you going to live it by the power of the Holy Spirit of God? The difference is between liberty and bondage. Liberty and bondage. Mr. O'Pager brought out a very good point in Sunday school relative to religion and how it seeks to bind, and how that religion always starts with the little children to seek to bring them in bondage first. He mentioned about how they do infant baptism and how they'll bring and they'll baptize the children and they'll say, the children are now saved. What is that? That's religious bondage. From that point on, what does the parent say? Oh, you're going to go to heaven because you were baptized as a baby. And they hear that over and over and over again. But I want to tell you something that's just as bad in churchianity today, where somebody will make some profession of faith or they'll say a little prayer and so forth. Oh, you're saved, you're saved, you're saved, you're saved, you're saved. Like I told you about the pastor that I dealt with about his son several years ago. The son was carrying on in a chapel service, and I had to get onto his case, and he copped an attitude with me, and I called his father to come in to meet with me. And I said, listen, I've got your son in chapel service that's cutting up. They're not listening. They're not paying attention. I said, the biggest problem that he has is that he just needs to be saved, and that he went nuts. That's not his problem. He was saved when he was 4 years old. He's just backslidden. I want to tell you something, folks. If you live your whole life to please the flesh, you better examine yourself. You better examine yourself, because the Holy Spirit wars inside the believer. There's turmoil. There's conflict. They're contrary to each other. And a person who's living by the flesh and enjoying it, there's not a war inside, because there's no Holy Spirit. There's no Holy Spirit. Time told. Time told on this child who was saved at 4 years old, that he was just as lost as he could be. Just as lost as he could be. Whole series of events in his life illustrated the fact that he was lost. But a parent had told that child from the time they were four, you're saved, you made a profession of faith. You're saved, you made a profession of faith. You're saved, you don't need to come forward anymore. You're saved, you're saved, you're saved. What right do we have to tell someone they're saved? The Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. We're not the Holy Spirit. How foolish for us to tell our children that they're saved when they may not be saved. We're giving them false hope. You know what we're doing? We're telling them, put confidence in the flesh. Put confidence in the flesh. Put confidence in the flesh. It's not about the Holy Spirit will bear witness whether you're a child of God or not. Oh, it's not that. It's the flesh telling the flesh you're okay. All right? What happens? That's bondage. That's not liberty. That's bondage. And there are a lot of children that are going to be in hell, and there are children today that are in hell that grew up in homes where parents told them, you're saved, you're saved, you're a Christian, you're a Christian. You were baptized, you were this, you were that, and they were lost. And they died and they went to a devil's hell trusting in the bondage rather than in the Spirit of God. Now, the flesh sets its desire. Now, we would remember that the flesh is a term used by the Apostle Paul to refer not only to this physical body, but to the propensity of our heart to desire to sin. We need to keep that in mind. Now, the Bible does use the word flesh in regard to our body. Matthew 26 and verse 41 says, "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." What was that referring to? Well, the disciples went into the garden, and they desired to pray, but they were tired, they were sleepy, the flesh, the body was weak. All right? But we go even further in this usage of the word flesh here in the Bible. It's used comprehensively to describe man's fallen nature. That is, those who are in the flesh, natural man, in his sin, in his flesh. Verse 5 of Romans 7 indicates that usage. And then we have it here, relating to the moral and spiritual weakness and the helplessness of human nature still clinging to our redeemed souls. We still have to do battle with the flesh. We seek to rebuke it. We seek to reckon it to be dead, but it still rears its ugly head. And that's why we need the power of the Holy Spirit. From the time we are born again to the time that we leave this earthly body, you and I are going to have to do battle with the flesh. What did the Apostle Paul say in Corinthians? He said, "I die," how often? Daily. I die daily. Why did he say that? Because he said, I have to put the flesh down and I have to put on the Spirit so that I can walk in His power and in His might. I have to die daily. Some people aren't willing to pay that price. Some people are not willing to pay the price of time spent in God's Word, and so they just live their day in the flesh. You try to teach in the classroom, teacher, in the power of the flesh, you'll be a failure. Oh, you can do great things in the power of the flesh. You can teach mathematics in the power of the flesh. You can teach spelling. You can teach phonics. You can teach science. You can teach all the subjects in the power of the flesh, and children will learn. You understand that? They will learn the academics, but there's something you cannot teach in the flesh. And it's this book right here. It must be taught and empowered by the Spirit of God. And that's the only way we're going to see lost souls come to Christ in the classroom. That's the only way we're going to see families come to the Lord Jesus Christ, is when a teacher submits to the Holy Spirit and lives the Scripture before their children. That's how it's done. That's how it's done. Now, notice, please, that the flesh relates to the moral and spiritual weakness and the helplessness of human nature that still clings to us as redeemed people. The flesh of Christians is their propensity to sin, the fallen humanness that awaits redemption, in which the new body will be received, in which the redeemed spirit will live for all eternity. The flesh is that part of the believer that functions apart and against the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. The flesh is that part of a believer that functions apart from and against the Holy Spirit of God, and therefore is opposed to liberty. It is opposed to liberty. Now, if we are led by the Spirit, we are not under the law. I appreciate Paul's candidness through the pen of inspiration here. He makes something very clear in verse 18 to these Galatian believers. If ye be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Point made, no debate. You cannot be under the law and be under the Spirit's control. Now, people would say, well, that's impossible. We follow the Ten Commandments. No, you don't understand. You don't understand. We're relating this to salvation in Jesus Christ. Salvation in Jesus Christ is not keeping the law and following the rites of the Old Testament to somehow please God and He's going to allow us to go to heaven. It's not the mixing of the law with grace. They can't be mixed together. They're like oil and water. They separate. You cannot put the two together. We're dealing here with salvation in Jesus Christ. If you are in the Spirit, then you are not under the bondage of law. You have been delivered from that. In Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan describes Interpreter's House. Maybe, how many of you have read Pilgrim's Progress? Tremendous book, dealing with how a person comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ and the life after salvation and going unto the celestial city when life is done. And at Interpreter's House, which Pilgrim entered during the course of his journey, to the celestial city, the parlor of the house was completely covered with dust when they came into interpreter's house. And a man picked up a broom and started sweeping the room. And he started sweeping the room. And what happened? The dust began to billow up and it began to roll around, just like a vacuum cleaner that has a leaky bag. You ever tried to vacuum with a vacuum cleaner? We had one of those this past week. One of our young people was down the hall and I was walking through a cloud. I said, "What in the world is going on here?" And a piece of the hose had come off the bottom of the vacuum cleaner. So what was being kicked up from the bottom end of the vacuum was getting thrown out the backside, and we had a cloud. It looked like the Peanuts character as they were out there vacuuming. Dust flying everywhere. Well, that was this man. He was in the parlor and he was sweeping, and the dust was all stirred up, and the people began to cough and to carry on. And the more vigorously that he swept, the more suffocating the dust became in the room. Then interpreter ordered a maid to take a bucket of water and to wash the floor, to take it and to pour it over the floor. And the dust was washed off of the floor and outside of the parlor. Interpreter explained to pilgrim that the parlor represented the heart of the unsaved man, that the dust was sin, the man with the broom was the law, and the maid with the water was the gospel. His point was that all the law could do with sin was to stir it up. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ can wash away our sin. Isn't that a beautiful picture? With the law, all you can do is go in there with the broom. The law says, "This is sin! This is sin!" But the law is helpless to do anything about the sin. All the law can do is say, "This is sin. This is wrong. This is in violation." But that's as far as law can go. That's as long as the leash is for law. The law cannot then take the sin and deal with it. Only Jesus Christ can. And this is the glory of the gospel, folks. And this is why the Judaizers were trying to destroy the work that the Apostle Paul had done there, and that the Holy Spirit had done in hearts and lives. It was about Christ. It was about Christ. The devil hates for Christ to receive the glory in the salvation of a single soul. And so the devil will raise up people like the Judaizers that will come in there and they'll stir up the dust. They'll stir it up. They'll kick it up. But there's nothing that can be done until the gospel comes in and washes it clean. That's the picture that we have before us. The power of sin is the law, we're told in 1 Corinthians 15:56. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the what? The law. Imagine that. What is the strength of sin? Death. The wages of sin is death. And that's what the law does. The law puts up a standard. When you violate that standard, the law says you are in violation. Therefore, here is the penalty. And the penalty for sin is death. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. To be led by the Spirit is to walk by the Spirit. Now, we're not talking about walking beside the Spirit as an equal. Don't misunderstand me. We don't walk with the Spirit as an equal, because the Holy Spirit of God is part of the Trinity. He is God's representative of Jesus Christ in our hearts during this dispensation. We follow His leading as our divine guide, Romans 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We have to follow His lead. When we are saved by Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit immediately comes into the life of the believer. At that moment, He enters. He begins to lead God's newborn children into the way of freedom, into the way of liberty. All we have known up to the point of salvation is what? Bondage to sin, under the curse of the law. The wages of sin is death. But when we are delivered from that, we are brought into the land of freedom. And in the land of freedom, the only way you can live in freedom is by the Holy Spirit of God. That's this whole point. We're going to get into this as we develop this and we move through here. All the things that are contrary to the Spirit of God and the fruit that is produced by the Spirit of God in this life of liberty. So many people are content, though, to live in bondage. Not only does he take the children into the way of freedom, but he teaches them holiness and truth and fruitfulness and access to God and prayer and assurance, witnessing, submissive joy that comes. I want to share with you two verses and then we'll close. Romans 8, verses 3 through 4. For what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The life of liberty, folks, is the walk of the Spirit, walking daily in the Spirit, dying to self, dying to the flesh, counting the flesh as being crucified and under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and living in the power of the Spirit. The command is walk in the Spirit. The conflict is the flesh and the Spirit war against each other in our life. Now, how are we going to get the victory? It's by following the command, walk in the Spirit, and I will know the way of liberty. I will know what it means to be free to serve others in love. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we understand from Thy precious word that the law is limited. All it can do is show us our sin and pronounce judgment. But praise be to God that the Spirit of God works in our hearts and lives, and because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, we can be delivered from the penalty of sin. We can be delivered from the bondage that sin has over each and every one, and we can be delivered from the kingdom of Satan unto the kingdom of Christ. Oh, the liberty that's found in Christ Jesus. But it's not a liberty to go out and do as we please in the flesh. Father, it's a liberty that You've told us is to serve others through Jesus Christ, to love our neighbor as ourselves, to be the right kind of witness and testimony for Thee. Lord, deliver us from bondage. We need Thy Holy Spirit to be able to carry out every work that You have for us. Now, Father, we pray that You would bless Your word this morning. We pray that You would work in the hearts of those here that may be without the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that there are children and teenagers without Christ here. There may be adults here without the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray for Your Holy Spirit to do a work of conviction. We don't know when the trump is going to sound. We don't know how much time we have, Lord. And so this is an opportunity for lost souls to come to Thee. We pray, Father, that they might submit, that they might repent of their sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ before it's too late. Oh, how wonderful it is to know the saving grace of Jesus Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray that that work might be evident in this church. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.